From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, March 31st, 2017. This program is produced by the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, and features news highlights compiled from the ARRL letter, found on the web at arrl.org. I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X.
And I'm your co-host, Carla Pereira.
In this week's report, the FCC issues amateur radio service rules for 630 and 2200 meters.
The Netherlands realigns their 5 megahertz amateur radio privileges to conform with WRC-15.
And talks continue of the possible reactivation of the 4U1 UN United Nations club station.
Those stories and others, plus Bruce Page, KK5DO, with this week's satellite update, all coming up now.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Phil Temples, K9HI, of Watertown, Massachusetts, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
The amateur service will officially get 2 new bands in the near future. The FCC has adopted rules that will allow amateur radio access to the 630 and 2200 meter bands with minor conditions. A report and order was released on March 29th. The new rules become effective 30 days following publication in the Federal Register. The RNO, which also addresses several non-amateur radio issues, allocates the 472 to 479 kilohertz band, 630 meters, to the amateur service on a secondary basis and amends Part 97 to provide for amateur service use of that band, as well as of the previously allocated 135.7 to 137.8 kilohertz band, 2200 meters. The RNO also amends Part 80 rules to authorize radio buoy operations in the 1900 to 2000 kilohertz band under a ship station license. It's a big win for the amateur community and the ARRL, said ARRL CEO Tom Gallagher, NY2RF. We are excited by the FCC's action to authorize additional amateur radio access on the medium frequency and low frequency spectrum. The FCC said the amateur radio service rules it has adopted for 630 and 2200 meters allow for coexistence with power line carrier or PLC systems that use these bands. Utilities have opposed amateur radio use of the spectrum, fearing interference to unlicensed Part 15 PLC systems used to manage the power grid. Amateurs operating on 472 to 479 kilohertz would be permitted a maximum EIRP of 5 watts, except in some parts of Alaska. Amateurs operating on 2200 meters can run up to 1 watt EIRP. The FCC also placed a 60-meter above-ground-level height limit on transmitting antennas used on 630 and 2200 meters. Permissible modes would include CW, RIDI, data, phone, and image. Automatically controlled stations would be permitted to operate in the bands. More information on this developing story will be available soon on the ARRL website.
Telecommunication regulators in the Netherlands have scaled back considerably the liberal 60-meter privileges announced for radio amateurs in that country just days after the conclusion of World Radio Communication Conference 2015, or WRC-15. Since December 2015, amateurs in the Netherlands have had access to a 100 kHz wide amateur band at 5 MHz with a maximum power of 100 watts. The Netherlands was able to do this because Article 4.4 of the ITU radio regulations permits countries to authorize frequency assignments that are contrary to the international table of allocations, only on a non-interference, non-protected basis. VIRON, the IARU member society in the Netherlands, now reports that starting on April 1st, Dutch radio amateurs will have to be content with the global secondary 15 kHz wide allocation of 5351.5 kHz to 5366.5 kHz at up to 15 watts effective isotropic radiated power that was agreed to at WRC-15. This outcome of WRC 2015 is implemented by means of the present modification of the scheme, Veron said. The ARRL has petitioned the FCC to allocate a contiguous 5 MHz band in the U.S. while retaining 4 of the 5 channels already in use.
A thorough and fully annotated discussion of Near Vertical Incidence Skywave, or NVIS, is available in an online research paper, Radio Communication via Near Vertical Incidence Skywave Propagation, an Overview, written by Ben A. Witvliet, PE5B, and Rosa Ma Alcina Pajes, First investigated in the 1920s, NVIS propagation was rediscovered during World War II as an essential means to establish communications in large war zones, such as the D-Day invasion in Normandy, the paper notes, adding that the U.S. Army subsequently sponsored a lot of NVIS field research, especially between 1966 and 1973. More recently, NVIS has become a popular means to enable close-in communication on amateur radio HF bands between 3 and 10 megahertz. NVIS can be used for radio communication in an area around 200 kilometers radius without any intermediate man-made infrastructure, and it has been found to be especially suited for disaster relief communication, among other applications, according to the paper. As for NVIS antennas, the paper stipulates that important parameters are antenna diagram, polarization, and bandwidth. As only high elevation angles contribute to NVIS propagation, optimizing the antenna diagram for these elevation angles will increase the effectively transmitted power and improve the signal-to-interference ratio at reception.
Online, via podcast, and on repeaters around the world, you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
Now, with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
ITF-2 was launched from the ISS and is operational as of March 25th. You can listen for telemetry in CW and FM on 437.525 MHz. The University of Tsukuba built the satellite. They have several SWL awards for those listening to earn. The first 100 reports from overseas earn an SWL card and a special souvenir. Next are five different SWL cards. You can earn all five by submitting five reports. Another report is one with very simple equipment, such as a dipole or 5/8 wavelength whip antenna and a USB tuner dongle, similar to the RTL2832 or the FunCube dongle. You can get more information from the operationitf-2.blogspot.jp. There is a button to translate from Japanese to your favorite language on the right. Thanks to Atushi, J-I-1-O-E-H, and the AMSAT News Service for this week's story. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
AMSAT has announced the launches of its Fox 1 Cliff and Fox 1D CubeSats have been rebooked from a single launch to separate launches. Both satellites initially were set to go into space on the spaceflight Formosat 5 Sherpa mission aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9. Fox 1 Cliff will launch on spaceflight's SSOA dedicated rideshare mission aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9, scheduled to launch from California's Vandenberg Air Force Base in late 2017 or early 2018. Fox 1D will ride into orbit on an Indian Polar Satellite launch vehicle set to launch late this year. These moves will serve to expedite the launch of these two satellites, AMSAT said, both of which carry an amateur radio 2-meter 70-centimeter FM repeater and an experimental 2-meter 1.2 gigahertz FM repeater. In addition to the launch of Fox 1 Cliff and Fox 1D, AMSAT is awaiting the launches of RAD-FXSAT and RAD-FXSAT-2. RAD-FXSAT is currently scheduled to launch this August 29th on a Delta II vehicle from Vandenberg Air Force Base. RAD-FXSAT-2 will be launched no sooner than December 2017 by Virgin Galactic on its Launcher 1 air launch system from Mojave, California.
Speech equalization, compression, and processing is the topic of the just-released episode of the ARRL The Doctor Is In podcast. Sponsored by DX Engineering, ARRL The Doctor Is In is an informative discussion of all things technical. Listen on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, whenever and wherever you like. Every 2 weeks, your host, QST Editor-in-Chief Steve Ford, WBAIMY, and the doctor himself, Joel Hallis, W1ZR, will discuss a broad range of technical topics. You can also email your questions to doctor@arrl.org, and the doctor may answer them in a future podcast. You can enjoy ARRL The Doctor Is In on Apple iTunes or by using your iPhone or iPad podcast app. You can also listen online at Blueberry or at Stitcher and through the free Stitcher app for iOS, Kindle, or Android devices.
ARRL is accepting applications for Summer 2017 Teachers Institute on Wireless Technology sessions until May 1st. This summer's sessions will be held in Dayton, Ohio, hosted by the Dayton Amateur Radio Association, and at ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut. Past participants who have completed the introductory TI-1 course may consider signing up for the advanced TI-2 session on remote sensing and data gathering. These expenses-paid intensive professional development opportunities offer educators training and resources to explore wireless technology in the classroom using amateur radio. TI-1 ARRL Teachers Institute sessions will take place July 17th through 21st in Dayton, Ohio, and July 24th through 28th at ARRL headquarters in Connecticut. One TI-2 session will be held July 10th through 13th at ARRL headquarters. An article in the March issue of QST includes the schedule and descriptions of offerings. The article Amateur Radio in the STEM Classroom in the April 2016 issue of Tech Directions discusses how four Teachers Institute graduates employ amateur radio in their classrooms. More information is available on the ARRL website.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Stephanie Shooks, N8WSU, of Black Lake, Ohio, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
And finally, United Nations Headquarters Amateur Radio Club Station 4U1UN representatives are still in talks with the UN Department of Public Information with an eye toward permanently reactivating the station. Although within the geographical confines of New York City, 4U1UN qualifies as a separate DXCC entity. Hopefully we'll have an opportunity to plead our case to the new administration as well. Keep your fingers crossed, said a post this week on the club's Facebook page. 4U1UN might be back on the air soon, it said. Earlier in March, the club alerted its Facebook page visitors to reports that a pirate identifying itself as 4U1UN was operating on RIDI. The station was on the air for real in 2015. To commemorate the UN's 70th anniversary that fall, 4U1UN operated as 4U70UN from a station set up at a ground-level garden area within the UN headquarters complex. Unlike 4U1ITU at International Telecommunication Union headquarters in Geneva, 4U1UN is typically not open for guest operation, but is intended for recreational use by the UN headquarters staff. Max de Henseler, HB9RS, Silent Key, spearheaded the effort that resulted in the approval of a specially designated UN headquarters amateur radio station, 4U1UN, in early 1978. An amateur radio station under the call sign K2UN had operated previously from the UN building. The 4U1UN United Nations headquarters station was dismantled in 2010 due to extensive renovation of the Secretariat building. Security concerns and logistics have since stood in the way of its returning to the air. All antennas have been removed from the roof and equipment has been packed away. Options reported to be under consideration have included controlling the station remotely, putting the station on the ground floor and running some 400 to 500 feet of feed line to the top of the building, or moving the station to another sovereign UN building.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about audio news, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright 2017 ARRL, all rights reserved. Until next week, I'm Carla Pereira.
And I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X, 73, and thanks for listening.